You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, Gene editors want to bring back the woolly mammoth.
Tony Kornheiser, you know, I remember playing with them when I was a child. Woolly mammoths liked them.
Are you okay? This whole, that's essentially, it's not cloning. It's basically reinventing something that went away. Are you okay with that ethically?
Didn't you see Jurassic Park 1 through 15?
Yes, yeah, scared the hell out of me.
That's a woolly mammoth outside of elementary school gave me a scar right here a long time ago. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, USC fires Clay Helton. Vlad Jr. passes Shohei in home runs. And does Patrick Cantlay really deserve to be PGA Tour Player of the Year? But we begin today with the Raiders beating the Ravens in a wild overtime game last night. The Raiders thought they'd won the game early in the overtime, but the receiver's knee was down and the ball was placed at the one. And two plays later, the Raiders were intercepted. The Ravens got the ball, and Lamar Jackson promptly fumbled for the third time. Anyway, the Raiders won. Wilbon, did they impress you in doing it?
I mean, marginally. You know, I'm just not going to be one of these people, Tone. No matter what the questions are about a week of football, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm just not. And the Raiders have won in other week ones. Gruden's won three straight openers at least. And, you know, they're not there late at the end. It doesn't matter. So, you know, I'm relatively speaking, in the context of 1 week of football, I'm impressed. I mean, Derek Carr, same thing. We've seen him. You know, there's a chart, the graph that would go up and down. You know, I guess we'll go like this for Derek Carr. I don't know, what are we gonna do in 2 weeks? You know, that game. You know what? I was impressed with the game. It was entertaining as hell. There were scream out loud moments in that game. One, when they get the penalty after that ball is put back at the half yard line. And then the deflected interception, these are scream out loud moments. I loved the game. I was more impressed with the game and back and forth. And Lamar Jackson had high moments and not so. Love the game. Not ready to, like, start slurping either team just yet.
I'm going to go to Derek Carr for a second because in the fourth quarter and in the overtime, except for that one interception, the deflection, 16 of 24, 267 yards, in just a quarter and an overtime and two TDs, yeah. That's a lot. Let me get to the question here. I think Baltimore is in trouble. I don't think they can protect Lamar Jackson adequately.
Struggle.
They don't have any sort of a running game, so opposition defensive players can tee off on him. He threw the ball 30 times. He ran the ball 12 times. Too much of the ball in his hand. He was pressured 55% of his dropbacks, whereas Carr only 20%. They're going to ask Lamar Jackson to do too much, Mike. I don't think it's going to work. They've got Kansas City in game two. They could be 0-2. I like you. I don't want to get, what is the phrase? I don't want to get ahead of my skis after just 1 week. But I'll tell you something that's interesting to me. Mike, there may be, if 1 week matters, there may be a shift in the power from east to west. The AFC West, 4-0. The NFC West, 4-0. I mean, I think you have to take note of that at this point. And the one regret I had, and you don't have this regret, I didn't tune in to Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, and people called me like you and said it was really good. A few weeks ago, I said to an unnamed executive at ESPN, call it Manning Night Football. That's still available.
That was clever.
I heard it was great.
Tony,
I heard it was great.
I would have called you, but I look at the watch. Okay. I've got the cell phone in hand, and Cheryl Wilbon says, who you calling? I got to call Tony. She goes, Tony has been asleep. I said, he's got no air conditioner, so he might not be asleep. Yeah. But, you know, look, you know how I like to watch three TVs at once on football days, right? Well, that's sort of tailor-made for watching, but wait, you can't listen to two broadcasts at once. So I tried to split it up. Look, we've known a long time how smart and funny Peyton Manning is. He's really smart and really funny. And Eli knows how to play off Big Brother and take him down now and then. There's a guy who's got a little brother about the same distance and age as Peyton and Eli. Although there's another, they have more brothers. It was just great. It really was. It took one loss this season for USC to say, see ya, to head coach Clay Helton. The Trojans lost to Stanford by 14 on Saturday at home, a game they were favored to win by 17 and a half. Helton went 46-24 overall, Tone, but his teams often, his critics say, came up too small against ranked teams. USC said in a statement that it's confident in its ability to attract a world-class coach. Do you see the Trojans landing a world-class coach, Tone?
I think this breaks down a little bit on age, Mike. I think if you are our age and you look at the USC program, you know how great it was for such a long time. I've got it in my top five all-time college programs. USC, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Alabama is my top five. So someone like me, someone like you, thinks they could attract it. But if you just started watching after Pete Carroll left and he went to Seattle the last 12 years, you see a toxic mess. You see a totally dysfunctional program with four different ADs and now five different coaches. They fired Lane Kiffin on the tarmac coming back from a game
three
mid-season.
And two or two
they
or
had
three,
Ed Orgeron.
Like
they had Ed Orgeron, and they passed on him, and he went and he won a national championship. They hired Steve Sarkisian. They got rid of him for public drunkenness, okay, in the middle of a season. Now they get rid of Helton two games into a season. So if you're asking me, I think big-name guys should want it, but maybe they don't. Maybe they're afraid of it. It looks like USC and Florida State are dumpster fires.
Well, see, I'm glad you looked at the issue from that angle. I'm going to look at it a little differently. Tony, all these schools that were great in 1970 think it's their birthright to be great forever. Nebraska fired a guy who essentially went 9-3 every year. How's it gone for Nebraska since then, right? Florida State, you and I, the other day, we're like laughing. And it's not we're laughing at Florida State. We're laughing at the topsy-turvy nature of college football and who gets turned on its head. Now, the Blue Bloods, Tony, Notre Dame had years where they weren't a threat to do anything but look like clowns and be the butt of jokes. That era is over for college football, Tony, and USC seems to be the latest school that doesn't understand that. USC has bigger problems. USC doesn't understand a whole lot of stuff. They run afoul of a whole lot of things, the whole university, which makes me question the presidents sometimes of
That's
USC.
Right.
But, Tone, all these schools that think they're going to be great because they were great in 1975 running student body right, that stuff's done, man. I don't know the SC is going to bounce back from this automatically or at all.
They had John McKay won national championships, John Robinson, Pete Carroll. They had O.J. Simpson. They had Lynn Swann. They had Charles White. They had Reggie Bush. When a guy gets out there, he's on the white horse and he's dressed up. And
it was
puts
great, wasn't
the
it?
The sword in the ground. That, Mike, when I grew up, football west of the Rockies was the University of Southern California. That's
Tony,
it.
You were right about you and I being of a certain age and time where, especially for people back east, where you didn't get to see USC every week. But when they were on and they played Notre Dame or Michigan or UCLA, it was so exciting just the run-up, the people coming into the Coliseum. They play at the Coliseum, for God's sake. You know what? It may
That's
be
right.
over for
no,
them.
You're right. Well, you know what they ought to do? They ought to hire Urban Meyer because he's going to be a disaster where he is and get him back to college. Let's go to baseball. Vlad Guerrero Jr. hit his 45th home run last night. That's the most in the majors, one ahead of Shohei Ohtani. The Blue Jays won again. They now own the number one wild card slot in the American League, and they are 12-1 in September. Guerrero's very much alive for a triple crown. Wilbon, is it possible that Vlad Jr. could pass Ohtani for the MVP?
No, because the voters have already decided. And baseball writers, which, you know, I sort of used to be at the beginning of my career a little bit, they seem more knuckleheaded and hard-headed and stubborn just for the hell of it. And they're married to their statistical analysis. And, I just want to separate myself from baseball writers and much of their prevailing thought. They've already decided that Ohtani's going to be the MVP. But, Tony, triple crown is not triple-double, okay? Triple crown is not common. There have been two of them in the last 45 years. I understand that Ohtani's doing something that you can go back 85 years since you can find that thing, him and George Herman Ruth. So I understand the rarity of Ohtani's season and the greatness of it. But let's not, baseball writers, I ain't following them. The Triple Crown is a big deal to me because I can remember that Carl Yastrzemski and Frank Robinson did it back-to-back, but then nobody until Miggy in 2012 or 13 or whatever it is, man. If I was voting, I would seriously consider voting for Guerrero.
So I'm going to use my age here. I am even not old enough to have covered baseball in 1941, but I studied history of baseball, and I know what happened in 1941.
Yeah.
I know that Joe DiMaggio went 56 straight games, record that'll never be broken. And I know that Ted Williams went 406, a batting average that will never be topped.
Fascinating.
DiMaggio won the MVP, and I've got to think that maybe it was because value was looked at in terms of the Yankees making the World Series, the only playoff team then, and the Red Sox finishing 17 games back.
Back, yeah.
Ohtani does something I've never seen, but they're three games under 500. They're not going to make the playoffs. And it looks like Guerrero's team is surging, and they are going to make the playoffs. And if he gets a Triple Crown as well, Mike, I think that becomes the hardest MVP vote in 80 years. I really do.
I'm with you.
I really think it's that hard.
Tony, the individual performances are so rare that it is difficult, man. It is. I just think, I was going straight to the question. Again, if I had a vote, I'm not sure. I would wait to the last minute to give myself every chance because I'd be scared getting it. I don't think you can get it wrong, but I wouldn't want to slight either guy, you know?
I agree with that. I agree. I think it's too hard a call, especially if he wins a Triple Crown. That is a really hard call. Let us take a break. But coming up, Jimmy Garoppolo and Jalen Hurts play each other this weekend. Who's coming off the better performance?
And did Patrick Cantlay really deserve the PGA Tour Player of the Year Award, speaking of close, over John Rahm? Yeah,
Tony,
baseball writers.
Deal.
I think baseball writers have their minds
Guerrero,
made.
Maybe if he could close for Toronto and he could pitch, maybe he'd win.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for Toss Up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, then changes back into a tank top because his air conditioning still isn't working.
We don't want to see
first?
That. Not
Toss
that
up.
Image.
They Neither play each other on Sunday. Who's coming off the better week one, Jimmy Garoppolo or Jalen Hurts?
They both played great. They both had ratings of over 120. They both went on the road and they beat bad teams. Jimmy Garoppolo proved once again he's a great starter in the league. He's something like, what's the number on this? 25-8 as a starter. But I'm going to say Jalen Hurts because Jalen Hurts did better than his usual game. And Jimmy Garoppolo gave it the usual game. Jalen Hurts may, in fact, be a pro quarterback of consequence.
That was a surprise, Tony. If I look at surprises of week one, it wasn't that, you know, Philly won because, you know, you can't trust Atlanta. Don't ask me why I picked Atlanta in my confidence pool, even if I only gave it a 2 or a 3. But to go and just trash them like that, I don't think we were expecting that. And by we, I mean anybody who pays close attention to the NFL. I wasn't expecting. I'm expecting Garoppolo to go and beat up on sorry, no account Detroit, even in Detroit. Right. But I wasn't expecting that from Jalen Hurts. And yes, the element of surprise is going to lead me to say, like you, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Next.
Toss up, who deserved to win PGA Tour Player of the Year? Patrick Cantlay or John Rahm?
Cantlay got it. The players voted for him. He won four tournaments. Rahm won one. Nobody else won three. But one of those tournaments was a memorial. And Rahm was up by six strokes after three rounds, and they walked him off because of COVID. And one of them was the FedEx Cup. And after four rounds, Rahm had a better score than Cantlay, but Cantlay won because he had handicap strokes. So my scorecard says Cantlay won two and Rahm won three, and one of those was the U.S. Open. That's a major. He beat Cantlay in every single major. He had 15 top tens, Mike. 15 top tens. If I have a vote, I vote for Rahm.
You know, it's interesting, Tony, and I started off the day that Cantlay finished this off in Atlanta, I was like, Cantlay. But then here's what may persuade me to go the other way. Cantlay missed the cuts. Missed the cut in two of the four major championships. Rahm didn't. Rahm played those major championships better than Cantlay did. And I this is, you know, I haven't used the word push in a long time. Wow. This, you know what? I mean, okay, it's not.
Don't do it.
Like, it's not
don't
like Major League Baseball and Ohtani
don't
and Guerrero. It's not
push.
Like that.
You already pushed on the MVP.
Okay,
you can't push twice.
That's
it.
Here's my tiebreaker. Rahm lives in Scottsdale. I'm going with my neighbor. That's him.
Of course. Domiciles.
Yeah. There we go.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, Clayton Kershaw makes a successful return to the mound for the Dodgers, but are the Giants out of reach for the Dodgers?
No. And how will the Saints weather a COVID outbreak?
Rahm was the best player in the world this year. I love what Cantlay did, but Rahm was the best player.
Strong finishing kick for Cantlay, Tone. Made those putts.
I hate those handicaps.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 49th birthday, David Bell. Bell played 12 seasons in the major leagues, mostly as a third baseman for Cleveland, St. Louis, Seattle, San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. Bell had a .257 career batting average with 123 home runs and 589 RBI. You want to take a guess as to what David Bell is doing now? He's managing the Cincinnati Reds, one of a long line of unknown managers in the majors now named Jace or Brandon or Torrey or Derek. Guess their teams. Time's up. David Bell's grandfather, Gus, and his father, Buddy, both played for the Reds, so I am guessing David Bell knows every gas station and pizza parlor in Cincinnati. He's 181 and 185 as the Reds manager, and right now, he's got the Reds in a second wild card slot ahead of San Diego and St. Louis. The Reds' upcoming schedule feels as soft as a pillow. 13 of their remaining 18 games are against the Pirates and Nationals.
One of the things, Tony, and baseball was my first love, one of the things I hate about baseball is how general managers and front office people have now apparently taken over running the ball club on a day-to-day, even from the dugout, which is why we don't know the managers. That's why we don't, because you got all these geniuses taking credit and being given credit for running the team. I think that's awful.
Happy anniversary, Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. On this day 31 years ago, the Griffies became the first and only father-son duo to hit back-to-back home runs in Major League history. They were playing for Seattle, and in the top of the first, they each took Kirk McCaskill out of the park. Senior was 40, Junior was 20. Another father-son duo, Tim Raines and Tim Raines Jr., played together on the Orioles, but never went back-to-back. In hockey, the Howes famously played together. Gordy, Mark, and Marty, both for the Houston Aeros in the WHA, and the Hartford Whalers in the NHL. There are many fathers and sons who have played the sport at the highest level, just not at the same time. The Mannings in football, the Currys in basketball, Bobby and Barry Bonds in baseball. You know, there's talk that LeBron James will stay in the NBA until his son Bronny can join him. Well, if that's on the Lakers, LeBron James Jr. will be the youngest player there by 40 years.
Hockey and horse racing seem to have a glut more than the other sports, Tony. Let me just say this about Ken Griffey Jr., who many people say has the sweetest swing maybe ever in the history of baseball. He's on the short list, right? He has the same swing on the golf course. It's that sweet, and he's that good there, too. Unfair.
Happy trails to Clayton Kershaw's absence from the mound. The 33-year-old Hall of Fame-bound left-hander started for the Dodgers last night for the first time since July 3rd. Kershaw went 4 1/3 innings, threw 50 pitches against Arizona. Gave up 4 hits, 1 earned run, struck out 5, walked 1, a perfectly credible showing. The Dodgers won their 4th straight game, but the Giants have won 8 straight and lead the Dodgers by 2.5. Kershaw is lined up for at least 3 more starts in the regular season. He gives the Dodgers a formidable 4-man starting rotation alongside Max Scherzer, Walker Buehler, and Julio Urias. The problem for the Dodgers is if they don't catch the Giants, they'll be consigned to the wild card game where it only takes one hot pitcher or hitter to knock them out of the playoffs.
Kershaw's got that great commercial where he talks about the curveball, and then you see him in those clips throwing that old-fashioned 140 years of Major League Baseball curveball. Tony, they're not out of anything in the division. They're 2.5 games back with, I don't know, 17, 18 to play. I'm sorry, people have choked on bigger leads than that. It does not seem like the Giants are likely to do that, but that's why September baseball is so great.
One omission, 49ers running back Raheem Mostert out for the season with a knee injury. Ugh. And we go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
The New Orleans Saints have reportedly had 6 offensive coaches test positive for COVID. Mm. Your thoughts?
I'm sorry they tested positive, but they can Zoom. I mean, you know, they can still get their jobs done this week. Ryan Braun officially announced his retirement. How are you going to remember his career?
As a great, great hitter who was tarnished by steroids. Yes. Carmelo Anthony tells Chris Haynes that getting a ring with the Lakers is a, quote, must-have. Do you agree?
I love that Carmelo Anthony has this opportunity. I love that he feels that way. I root for Carmelo Anthony, who was the Rookie of the Year. A lot of you, including you, got it wrong, but that's another time. Champions League started today. What's your highlight?
The highlight is I know it is being played in Europe. That is step one for me as a soccer-knowledgeable guy in Europe. Last
Ronaldo.
One, Gerrit Cole scheduled to start for the Yankees tonight against the Orioles. What are your expectations?
He's coming off a hammy strain. I expect a no-hitter. I mean, you expect that every night, don't you? In Major League, some
no
pitcher, famous, and not going to throw a no-hitter.
No.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Here's SportsCenter.
Can I wish Jeff Neal, my partner, good luck in everything he does? He helped me
go
a lot the other day.
There you go.